And today we want to talk about giving up on being God. Amen. We want you to give up on trying to be God. Let God be God. Amen. Ain't going to change anything you might try to do. It ain't going to change anything, but probably only take you further away from God. But amen, we want to draw closer to God. We are, folks, we have to be devoted to truth. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42-47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. You can be seated. We'll see how well you know your Bible today here. All right, folks, start with multiple choice questions here. The book of Hezekiah comes before Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Zechariah? Anybody? Well, the answer is D, which is none of those, because Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible. Which sport is mentioned first in the Bible? Baseball, tennis, or shuffleboard? Baseball. It's in Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning. Who is the first person to play tennis in the Bible? Noah, Jacob, or Joseph? Anybody? It was Joseph. He served in Pharaoh's court. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, the son of Nun. And what kind of man was Boaz before he got married? Anybody? He was ruthless. Amen. See there? Got some of you, and some of you got me. All right. Folks, our main verse that we're looking here this morning is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You see, folks, when we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we discover that the early church was characterized by devotion and purpose. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in that. Amen? Then, you see, when we read this, it says, when they continued in these things, it says, then there was added to the church daily. I mean, if we want to see that, I believe we need to continue in these things that this scripture talks about. So, when we a few weeks ago we spoke in lesson two, we discussed the phrase to the fellowship, and discussed the importance of community in the church setting. So today, though, I want us to try to study an earlier part of the verse, and that is the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. And as we noted a few weeks ago, the apostles taught from the Hebrew scriptures and probably a Greek version that scholars call the Septuagint. I guess I can say that right. But they had much more to go on. You see, these folks had lived with Jesus, so they shared his sayings and they shared his stories about him. And they taught the importance of his death and his resurrection. And they explained the priority of godly living. And of course, they began to record these matters. And they wrote them down. And all these writings were gathered together in what is now called the New Testament. And as the church progressed, they possessed the conviction that the writings of the apostles that carried the same weight of the Hebrew scriptures that they had studied. And that is an understanding that we share today as well. When it comes to having a devotion to the apostles' teaching, this is something that is true for every Christian. You know, folks, I understand that I have a great calling as called to pastor a church. I have a terrific job. And I have the opportunity to study the Bible for a living and teach it to you and encourage you to live it. But you see, the study of Scripture is not just for teachers. The study of Scripture is not just for pastors. The study of Scripture is essential for every Christian to devote themselves to the study of God's Word. And that is a strong statement. Amen? And I hope that you understand that, and let me repeat that, folks. It is essential for every Christian to devote themselves to the study of God's Word. You see, folks, the Word needs to get into us. Amen? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." I like that, don't you? "Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God." That phrase, "dwell in you richly," is an awesome phrase. You see, God wants His Word to dwell inside of us. God wants His Word to live in us. Excuse me. He wants us to live there richly, in full measure. That word "richly" means in full measure. It means a lot. It means abundantly. So God's Word needs to dwell in a full measure in us. God's Word needs to dwell in us a lot. God's Word needs to dwell in us abundantly. But see, there's a problem. If you and I are not spending time getting the Bible in us, we will never know its truth. In a study, the Barna Group, according to Barnum Research Group survey, less than 50% of Americans open the Bible in a given week. 82% think that God helps those who help themselves is directly from the Bible. 63% cannot name the four Gospels. 58% do not know that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. 52% do not know the book of Jonah is in the Bible. See, these are sad statistics. But as Christians, folks, here's where we must stand. Amen? We must have it in us, a lot in us. Amen? We need to let it dwell in us. So we have to be devoted to the truth. And the question we want to ask is, well, why? Why do we want to be devoted to the truth? Why are we devoted to the truth that's found in the Bible? Well, you see, we find in our study based in Acts 2:42 the three reasons why we should be devoted to the truth. Acts 2, verse 42 through 47 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as men had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, the first reason that why we should be devoted to the truth is because of authority. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 through 17, it says, "In all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, folks, the Scripture comes That scripture we just read comes in very handy. It tells us why we need to be devoted to the truth. We need inspiration of God. Amen? We need the word that is profitable to doctrine in us. We need reproof. We need correction. We may not like it, but we need it. We need instruction. And we need to know how to have instruction in righteousness, or we won't get there. There was a mom who consistently attempted to teach her children the please and thank you so that they would be polite. She also helped them memorize scripture in the Bible. And one day, her 4-year-old son was tussling and wrestling with her in a good-natured contest. Losing the battle, he wanted to be released. And she said, "What's the magic word?" Mom was encouraging him to say the magic word to comply with his wishes. She wanted to comply with him, so he says, "Let my people go." That was the reply from the little boy. See, knowing scripture is handy. Amen? That came from Exodus 8, verse 1. But we have to know scripture in our lives. And this is a fun mannered thing, but folks, scripture will help you in times when you are trying to make a decision in something and you need to make a right decision, and all of a sudden that scripture comes to mind. That's why David's telling the Lord, "Hide your word in my heart." Why? So that I might not sin against you. Knowing scripture can be very handy. And it has a certain authority to it, doesn't it? The word of God. See, some people can tell us about things, but one of the things I like to do when I'm talking to people is, let's go to scripture. You can argue with me all you want, but you ain't going to argue with scripture. God means what he says and says what he means. Amen? Now, we believe God's word, amen? I said, we believe God's word, amen? Thank you, Sister Kiana. You're always behind me. So I got to get everybody else on board, right? We need to stand up and do jumping jacks here. Wake up. We need God's word in our life. Folks, I'm telling you, it's God's word that's going to get you to heaven. We have to line up with his word. Now, you can sit there on that day of judgment. We're all going to go stand before the judgment seat, right? You can argue with God all you want. You go to court. Well, you ran that red light. You could tell the judge, "Well, I shouldn't get this and I shouldn't get this." He said, "Yeah, but the law says this." He's going to judge you according to what the books tell him to judge you. And it can be a fine, or it can be days in jail. I don't know what all that are, but that's what he gives you from a ramification of, this is what you get for breaking the law. And that's what God is going to do on us on that day. Why didn't you live like this? Why did you act like that? Why didn't you do this? My word told you to do it. Why were you always doing this over here? Why did you have an attitude all the time? Well, God, well, you didn't listen to my word. My word says if you don't listen, this is what happens. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says, all scripture. Now, not just some. Now, we like to pick and choose what we want to listen to in the Bible, don't we? Now, this here says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, a lot of people say, well, man wrote the Bible. Yeah. God always uses man. Okay? This scripture tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it goes on to talk about it. It says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, that scripture that is given by inspiration is going to help you to be righteous. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This verse demonstrates the superiority of scripture. And it challenges us to give up on being God. You see, folks, what we say is not equal to what God says. Come on. What we have received from him is a true authority in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21 says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. In other words, it wasn't what the prophet was thinking. It was from God. So he says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. That's awesome. See, I can line up in the Word that God put together like this. I can live according to the Word. And folks, let me tell you something. If it's not in the Word, I don't want it. Right? I have to line up with the Word because that's what I'm going to be judged by. The Scripture tells us I'm going to be judged by His Word. He's going to open the book and say, did you live this way? You better be lining up. You better be able to say, yes, Lord, I did. Now, we believe that all Scripture is God-breathed, right? We believe that all Scripture is useful for teaching. We believe that Scripture is able to rebuke us. We believe that Scripture is able to correct us and train us in righteousness. In other words, help us to live according to what God is pleasing to God. We believe that, right? We also believe that the very words of Scripture are the only complete and final revelation from God. And that these scriptures are the supreme standard of all faith and all practice. Now, we also believe that Scripture never came from man, but men spoke as they were inspired by His Spirit. We believe that. And although the concepts of absolute truth is not a popular concept in today's world, we understand, folks, that Scripture is the truth. That Scripture speaks the truth. And that it contains the truth. And that we need to know about God and we need to know how to live. Amen? Now, folks, you say, well, why does God have to have it this way? Well, let me tell you something. Anybody here, how many of you are in a relationship today? Okay, would you like to live in a relationship where the person did totally opposite of what you always like? Huh? You see, there's certain things you like in a relationship, and there's certain things you don't like in a relationship. And you let that person that you're in a relationship, you let them know too, don't you? You know, and don't bring me, you know, this or that. You know I don't like that. If you're going to bring me something, bring me this and that. Don't talk to me that way. If you want to talk to me, you talk to me nice. And we let people know, and we should. Because if you don't let somebody know how you feel about things, you're really not in a relationship. Well, understand, folks, God is that way. And what we do every day when we talk to Him, we serve, we are living a relationship with Him. And we should always draw closer to God every day. That should be your goal every day, to draw closer to God. And how do you do that? You go to the Word, and the Word tells you things. And maybe you overlook something, but God will convict you. Have you ever just got up one morning and went to do something that you've always done, and all of a sudden you just feel this conviction and say, I can't do that. That's God dealing with you. See, when you draw closer, you just begin to know things about God. You know, my wife don't drink as much tea as she used to, but every time I just go in and just make her a cup of tea, she don't know I'm making it. Bring it to her. She goes, I was just thinking about having a cup of tea. Sometimes you know me better than I know myself. I do things like that for her, and she, how it is sometimes when you've been with somebody for so long, you start talking, and you say the same thing they do. See, that's how it needs to be with God. We need to have things. Sometimes God needs to tell us something. We just start going right along. Yeah, God, I understand. That's called relationship with God, folks, and that's what He wants from us. So we need to know how to live for God, and the Word of God helps us in that area. And it helps us to know things that we shouldn't be doing. You see, folks, that's why when we come to the Lord and we start growing in Him, and that's why we here help each other to grow. All right? And the second reason why we should be devoted to the truth is its life. Okay? And we believe God's Word guides us to the good life. Amen? I tell folks, you know, they say, hey, you don't look like you and your wife look like that. I said, that's a good life. When you live for God and you're happy and you're joyful, see, stress is what makes you look old. Right? Living in sin, that's stress. It'll make you look old quick. Huh? Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So God knows your thoughts and he knows your intents. Amen? Now listen, folks, the word sometimes is not always easy to swallow. Anybody like surgeries? Anybody? Nobody? Why? Because it hurts. Right? It hurts. Now what's the scripture say? For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And then what's it do? It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Sometimes we do things and folks, conviction comes on, and conviction is not fun. And that's the word of God getting in there and digging something out. Let's take that out of your life. I don't want that in there. We have to let the word of God do its job in our life. Amen? Jeremiah 15, verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Eat the word of God, folks. Devour the word of God. He said, "The word I found, and I did eat them." What happens when he ate them? It says, "Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Christians, folks, we need to have the joy of the Lord. Because it says, the scripture tells us, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Come on, folks. Living for God is a good life. We shouldn't be dragging our lip. "Oh, God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that." I get to do this for God. I get to live for God. I get to be what God wants me to be. Amen? See, as human beings, we have a tendency to make light of things that are dead. We try to rework something to not be sin when it really is. Come on. Now, you can sit here and listen, folks. You can try to sit here and tell yourself that that's not necessarily wrong. And I should be able to do this. Well, you can do it. You can convince yourself of anything you want to convince yourself, but it doesn't do any good when you stand before God. Now, we like to justify things. Well, I should be able to do this. Well, you know what? You really can go do it. God's not going to hold you back. You can do it. It doesn't make it right. And you can look at things in our world today and try to justify them all you want. But when God says things are not good, he means it. And folks, look at how simple it was. In the garden, God said, "Don't eat of that tree." Simple. Now, we don't know what kind of tree. Everybody likes to think it was an apple. Maybe it was. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's fruit. And God said, "Don't eat of it." Now, they got kicked out of the garden for eating something. They didn't even say they ate it all. They took a bite of it. Pretty simple. That tells me God doesn't mess around. He is a loving God. But he is also a God of judgment. Now don't sit there and look pious, because as a parent, there's times, you know, you were loving to your kids. And you love them and you'd pet them when they're on your lap and all this other kind of stuff. But when they messed up, there was that judgment that came. Right? That's how our God is. And when he says things, he means it, folks. And think about it. I try to point this out to people sometimes. God kicked them out of the garden for eating something. It wasn't necessarily what they ate or where it was. God said, "Don't do it." Plain and simple. Don't eat of that. And they did it. Pretty simple. And so, folks, we can sit here and argue with God all we want. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. I believe God told Noah to put one door in the ark and one window. I think if he had put a back door in, he would have sank. I believe that. Because God said, this is why we want it built. If he'd have put one more window in, I believe it would have sank. And he'd have lost all of his family. Now, you see how simple these things are, folks. And we need to line ourselves up and say, listen, when God says he wants something, I better do it. And if I want my family blessed, I better line up with the word of God. If I want my marriage blessed, I better line up with the word of God. If I want God's blessings in my life, because all God says, all of his promises are predicated with, if you do this, then I will do this. And he's the creator, folks. He can do whatever he wants. Now, you may not like everything, but God doesn't care. He really doesn't. I don't know of anybody that God's going to give a break to unless you repent. Thank God for repentance. Amen? So as human beings, we have a tendency to make light of these things. We try to network something not to be sin. And or we work things and this, try to show we try to educate God why this shouldn't be wrong. But when we read God's word, it reaches right down into us. And his word is going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. Amen? His word is going to convict us. Hopefully. If you ever get to a point, folks, where God speaking to you doesn't convict you, that's a cold place to be. That would be a scary place to be. This word of God tells us that God will not always strive with me. I pray to God I always feel conviction, because if I don't feel God's conviction in my life, I'm going to be afraid, is God even dealing with me anymore? You know how I'm talking about, folks? Somebody that you talk to him and seems, you ever heard, I've talked to him until I'm blue in the face. I don't know where that come from, but it's been out there. I've heard it before. You ever talk to somebody and it seems like they just ignore you and ignore you and ignore you and you keep on, you get tired of it. I'm wasting my breath. Well, there comes a place, and I hope we don't, anybody here don't ever reach that place where God says, I'm not going to deal with you anymore. His word, it'll tell you the truth, and you better pray that his word convicts you. Because it is able to get into our very heart and where we make our decisions. And it challenges us to be right with him and to delight in what he says. And we need, when we do that, when we delight in what God says, we can enjoy life and that good life that he offers. Rick Warren described the Bible as the purpose-driven life, and he said, the Bible is far more than a doctrinal guidebook. God's word generates life. It creates faith. It produces change. It frightens the devil. God's word causes miracles and heals hurts and builds character. It transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, cleanses our minds, brings things into being, and guarantees our future forever. That's God's word, folks. You see, folks, when you open the Bible, you open a guidebook, and it's like an encyclopedia on how to live life at its best. The Bible steers us in the right direction, it directing us to a full and satisfying life. The third reason why we should be devoted to truth is its message. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in the Lord today? Amen. Because he said, if you believe in him, you will not perish. Now, we believe that God loves us passionately. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God loves you deeply? Do you believe that God loves you personally? You see, if you say no to any of those folks, you don't know God. You need to get in the Word and learn Him. Because the devil wants you to look at God as a bully. We know who the bully is, don't we? Now, here's the very core of what we call the good news is God's Word. Do you know, folks, why we invite people to our small groups and to our church? Anybody? Well, it's much more than just about our small groups. It's much more than just because it's church. We invite people not because they are our project, but we do it because we believe. I hope you're with me here today. We invite people because we believe that God loves them passionately. We do it because we believe that God loves them deeply. And we do it because we believe that God loves them personally. Because He did it to us. Amen? Now, we all like to share things, and don't tell me you don't, because, you know, you get a new product. Oh, you got to try this. I bought this the other day. I'm so glad I bought it. It's just the greatest machine. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Sister Audrey did that the other day. I'm looking for one of them cordless vacs for the church. This is how I do things. Well, I go online and I study and I read and I mark them down. And this got better than this. And this got better than that. It takes me forever. Sister Audrey says, "Oh, you got to get the Dyson. I love it." Instead, I bought two Dysons the other day. Okay, that's how I do things. Okay, so when you find things you like, you tell other people about it. And so I believe that God loves me personally. I believe that God loves me passionately. I believe that God loves me deeply. So when I want somebody to be a part of that, I invite them to our church. I invite them to our small groups. You got to know my God. Now, there's people that say they know God, but they don't act like it. There's people that call themselves Christians, but they don't act like it. They're rude and ruthless and blah, 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 blah. My Bible tells me that my God is love. My God loves to share things. My God loves to bless people. Amen. And so when I get to know my God and I want to be like my God, I want to be like He is, and I want to bless people and I want to love people and I want to care for people. The Bible says you may know them, who? The Christians, by what? Their fruit. Right? You know an apple tree. You may not know what an apple tree, the bark looks like. You may not know the leaves. But if you see an apple hanging, you know it's an apple tree. Right? So we know people. We know Christians by their fruit. And folks, when we tell people, when we invite them to our small groups, when we invite them to church, it's because we know that God loves them passionately and deeply and personally. We serve a good God. We serve a good God who wants us to give up on trying to do better, a better job at life than he does. Amen? God wants us to give up on us trying to do it and allow Him to do it for us. We have a good God who wants us to know a good life. God loves you just the way you are. Now hear me. How many believe God loves you just the way you are? You believe that? But you know what else? He refuses to leave you that way. Yeah, God will take you just where you are. But as you come to Him, you're going to start being better. Right? It's no different than we are. We try to help people be a better person. And that's what God does. So some of these people, they know that, oh, I'm a sinner, I sin every day, da-da-da-da-da. I feel sorry for you. Because I don't sin every day. I'm not saying I don't ever mess up, but I don't think it's growing in God that I should sin every day. See this little baby right here, there's going to be a day when he starts walking, and he's going to fall a lot. But the more he walks, come on, tell him. The less he's going to fall. Right? I mean, all of us here, we don't fall like we did when we first started walking. And that's how it is in living for God, folks. We may mess up when we first come to the Lord. We may mess up a whole lot. But as we grow in him, we're going to get mess up less and less and less. And so there may be 2 days go where you didn't fall down. You know, one of the funniest things, I'm the oldest of 8 kids, my youngest brother. Watching him learn to ride a bike was hilarious. His name's Daniel. And he'd get out on that bike, and he'd run it and wreck it. He'd get up, he'd kick that bike, be so mad at that thing, yelling and hollering, and then pick it right back up and get back on. And that's how life is, folks. We get out, and we mess up. And we get mad at ourselves. But you know what? God wants you to get back up and dust yourself off and keep on walking with him. Because that's what a good father does. He says, come on, you can do this. And when those babies start falling and stuff, you're like, come on, you can do it. And you love it when you can take the, let them hold your fingers and you can walk them. And they're falling and wobbling and come on. And we, as good parents, we encourage them to be better. Get back up. You can do this. You know what's so funny, though? We encourage them to do all these things. We show them how to tie shoestrings. And then they start wanting to do it themselves. And we want to help them. I can do it. We're like, my baby's growing up. They don't need me as much. But God wants us to understand we always need him, only in different capacities. Just like our children do. They grow up, they need us less in certain things. It's funny to watch them sometimes, though, when they, button it up like this. Right? No. That's a good job, though. Let me, Daddy, show you how to do it. God says, here, let me help you. We do these things, folks. It's a great God. God is in the business of changing lives. And God loves you the way you are and where you're at right now. But he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants you to grow in him. All right? God uses his word to do that. So, let me tell you a little story about a pig. A man was driving up a steep, narrow mountain road. A woman is driving down the same road. And as they pass each other on the road, the woman leans out of the window and yells, "Pig!" And the man immediately leans out his window and replies, "Witch!" And each continue on their way. And as the man rounds the next corner, he crashes into a pig in the middle of the road. If only the men would listen. Right, ladies? If only the men would listen. Now, listen, folks. Actually, regardless of gender, we need to listen. She wasn't calling him a pig. She's telling him there's a pig. We need to get the discipline of getting the word of God in our head and listen to it. Amen? I think some of that went over your heads. Come on. She wasn't calling him a pig. He thought she was. Witch! Come on, men, start listening. Be a listener. We need to get that discipline of getting the word of God in our head and listen to it. You ever see somebody, folks, they can quote scripture, never listen to it? Huh? What good is it if you know it and never listen to it? Right? We need to expose ourselves to truth. And now we have been doing that this morning. We've been exposing ourselves to the word of God this morning. We have been hearing scripture spoken. And during this time, we have been hearing it explained to us. And there are other opportunities as well, folks. There's the Sunday school class. They're hearing it. Evangelistic service here coming up with the praise and worship. We're going to hear the word of God. And small groups and Bible studies and all these opportunities are opportunities for us to hear the word. We need to use these occasions to expose ourselves and be devoted to the truth. Amen? Listen, folks, listen, so often we know what we need to do as Christians. We know what we need to be more faithful in. And we don't do it. And then we get upset when life gets rough on us. And our family members aren't saved. Well, it's probably because maybe you're not being a good enough example. Yeah, I knew kids growing up, folks. Their parents would go to church, they sit on these pews, and you'd have thought they were the greatest Christian. I knew a man that he was always, people always told him, he'd stand up and tell really great testimonies, and it sounded like he's preaching. And all, but when he went home, I knew what happened in that home. Yelling and screaming at him all the time, calling them names. As soon as they get in the car, sit down and shut up, you idiots. His kids didn't want to serve his God. I want to ask you today, do your children want to serve your God, parents? Do you teach them to love your God? Do you show them you love your God? Do your neighbors want to live for your God? Or do they hear stuff going on over the fence in your house? The people you work with, do they know about your God? And do they know he's a good God and that he blesses your life and you love him with all of your heart? And there's why you won't join into the groups that are telling dirty jokes. And you won't lie to people that to try to get time to, like I worked at a place, tell them the car's in the shop. I said, I'm not telling them to lie. You want to lie to them here. What do people know about your God? Do they want to serve your God? Come on, parents. We have kids that need saved. Do they want to serve your God? Or are they watching a life and saying, why aren't you faithful to church? If it's so important to you, why do you always miss so much? It amazes me, folks, how people will not miss work. But I'll get a phone call, Pastor, I got a cold. And I just wonder, are they going to go to work tomorrow? Because I always felt, if I'll get up and go to work with it, I can go to church with it. Come on. Now, if I'll miss work, maybe that might stay home. I just want to know, folks, how do people see your God through you? There's a song, something about we're the hands and we're the feet and all this kind of stuff. What does the world see? We are the body of Christ. Amen? So we can never settle for just hearing the word of God. We have to apply it. And God does not want us to just fill our heads with knowledge about him. It needs to be moved from our heads to our hearts. And this is important because when it is in our hearts, then it'll move to action. Now, I realize that there are maybe some here today that are skeptical about all this, and maybe you're thinking that we have taken a huge leap of faith and to believe it in all this stuff, to accept this book as God's word in us, folks. You may have to really jump by faith and say, okay, I'll try to believe it. Maybe you think that we are even a little bit nutty here today. All right? If you're thinking this way, may I place a challenge before you. I challenge you to read the Word of God, and I challenge you to obey it. And whenever you read something that you know is an example worth following, then obey it. And here is what I believe it will happen. I believe that these words are so powerful that you will see a change in your life, that you will have a hard time explaining it away, except to say that these words have their source in God himself. And I want to encourage all to go beyond being a listener and diligently study the Word of God. It's 2 Timothy 2:15, study and to be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by and trialed, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the Word of truth. When you read and you study the Bible, it reflects a devotion to God, amen? And that is what is really it's all about, folks. Try to transition from, I am required to spend time with God, but I want to spend time with God. It's a powerful difference. Amen. But in all of this, remember that this is all about what the what this study is really for. We need to transition from heads to hearts to action, to hand. That's where the word of God needs to go, from the head to the heart to the hand. Because information is not enough. We are to move from information to inward transformation. And then we move from inward transformation to outward reformation. In other words, we move from the head to the heart to the hands, and it is then we truly live and enjoy a godly life. Stand with me. Amen. God bless you, folks. Quickly, go grab you a drink of water, whatever you need to do. Go to the bathroom. Let's get back up here for service at 11.